Talk live with Psychics Online now for one-on-one personal readings. Welcome to Stars Psychics, a community of gifted psychic readers offering live psychic readings through our private chat rooms. Want to know about your love life? What about your career and wealth? Hear from loved ones and more. Our network of channelers, tarot card readers, clairvoyants, spiritual advisors, and clairaudience can assist in answering your questions and guide you to a new level of spiritual career. Online psychic readings are a great way to find out answers you've always wanted to know from a psychic in the privacy and comfort of your home. Go to www.starspsychics.com. That's stars with a Z, psychics.com. Now click on the new one-on-one button and start talking to a psychic today.
Well, this is an exciting topic for most people, I think, because it's about the commitment crisis. You know, why doesn't he call? Why doesn't he want to get married? All these whys and wherefores, I call them, and I think it's important to understand. And as a female, like my two gals here tonight, Stars Maya Moon and Stars Nicole, we've all been through this with boyfriends, husbands, whatnots. You just can't predict, but some just do not want to commit. They want their life to be by themselves and to flow with wherever it takes them, you know. So this is about that tonight, and I'm really excited about it. So welcome, everybody. And Maya, I guess I'm going to give it over to you to begin.
Okay, sure. I'm just going to quickly say hi. Thank you, Natalie, and thank you all for listening, as always. If this is your first time, settle in, get comfortable. I know that you'll love the show. And if you're a returning listener, we're, as always, so glad to have you, and we appreciate everything that everyone in the chat room does, Stars Priestess Candy. But what I thought this evening, it we'll go ahead and let Nicole open up the show. So, Nicole, do you want to go ahead and start for us?
Sure, I'll go ahead and open up. Thank you, Maya, and thank you, Natalie, and everyone who's in the chat room, and Candy for being a part of it. Yeah, so tonight we're going to be talking about the commitment crisis and non-committal partners and how to handle that and how to deal with that. And as a psychic medium and intuitive, this is a pretty common question that I think most of us get. You know, people are often wondering when someone is going to call, when we'll be in a long-term committed relationship, what are they thinking, what are they feeling. And one of the major things that I get from, you know, a lot of clients is why someone won't commit, or why they turn hot and cold, and what to do about that. And the big thing that, you know, that comes through a lot when I'm doing readings for clients, like the major thing that spirit often says is when you're entering into a relationship with anyone, you have to first know who you are, what you want, and what you're bringing to the table. You know, and it kind of feels like if someone is giving you signs and signals that they're very intense one moment and then they're running cold the next moment, that might not necessarily be the person to commit to, you know. But spirit often says, like, you have to focus in on what you want and what you're bringing to the table and what you desire. When I think about, you know, committed partnership and relationship, you know, and kind of why people turn hot and cold, I think it's important to note that, you know, that sometimes it's not that a person will never commit. It's that we often have to give people time. We have to give them time to warm up to us. We have to give them time to feel safe. We have to give them time to really decide what it is that they want. And I think that in this day and age, sometimes we're very quick to maybe put a label on things and immediately say we're going to be in this committed partnership and we're going to move forward and that's the way we're going to go. But one of the things that I've seen in my life and my relationships, and I've seen it in the lives of my clients, is that sometimes you just have to give things time. You know, you might be pleasantly surprised. You know, sometimes you connect with a man or a woman who is not ready to be committed right away, but as you build the friendship, as you get to know each other, as that friendship and that fun and that sense of playfulness deepens, you may naturally fall into a commitment, you know. So that's one of the things that I state with my clients. It's very important to know what you want, but I also think it's very important to give things time. And do understand that, you know, sometimes committed partnerships, I find they're most successful when people are at the same space in their life. You know, so if you're dealing with two people who have just come out of a very difficult partnership or relationship, and, you know, they're trying to ease back into the dating scene, oftentimes when you're in the same space in your life as another person, it's easier to grow together. You know, but if you're in two totally different spaces in your lives and you're trying to come together and have a committed partnership, I think that's when the problems can arise and when there can be issues. That's what I'm feeling about it so far, but I'm going to turn it over to you for a second, Maya, and sort of ask you, is there anything that you're sensing or picking up from your guides about that or about what I've just touched on?
Well, yes, and one thing that I want to say is that I agree with you very much that, and it's something that my guides teach in their four that I teach, and that we're on the same page with that as far as we have to know ourselves in order to be able to make any type of commitment, whether that's job, relationship, buying a home, for example, or, you know, buy a home. I don't necessarily mean a house. Some of us are looking to buy a condo, but we get the gist of it. So we do have to really know ourselves. And what I have been taught, and I believe this to be true through my professional experiences, is that we can be on a path with a friend or a soulmate, but for that to move forward into a committed relationship, and that would be romantic, then I'm talking about a romantic life partner, there has to be more than just the connection. Now, one thing that you did say, Nicole, but I should probably finish, and I always jump around. That's just my type A personality coming out, or type jump around personality. So we can just call it my JA personality coming out for short for jumping around. But I think it kind of depends, because where I see a lot of conflict in clients, and what you said, I do absolutely agree with, that we see the, for example, the client or the human or the person who is so desperate for that commitment, that way of life, that partnership, they're ready, let's say that they know themselves, and they have made their mistakes, or they have grown, they've come to that place where they're accepting, and they're at a certain point in their path, and then they meet someone, and they're ready to just rush in and move ahead. Now, I don't think that's healthy. I would agree and support the theory that to be a life partner, we both have to be in the same place, and we have to want the same things. All that has to be there. And that rushing things, that love is never rushed, love is soft, love is easy. But I do feel, and you may feel that way, you just didn't get to that portion of it, but where I see and feel a lot of conflict, and what I feel happens is the conflict over where we draw the line. Where is the difference between when someone is being patient and they're moving at, let's say, a reasonable pace versus a client that has been becomes blocked or stuck in a pattern of holding. So you have two people. You have, let's say, the client that comes to you that is waiting on the person that's unable to make a commitment, and then you have the other person who probably isn't coming to us, and they're unable to make a commitment. And time is passing by, and it's like an airplane in the sky. So the holding pattern, there's only so much gas in the engine, and, you know, we can only maintain that and remain healthy and balanced for a certain amount of time. So I absolutely support that we should live in the now, and that we have to be careful that our need and desire for that outcome and that partnership and so on, that doesn't overcome or turn into an attachment or an obsession that overrides the present day and our ability to be in a state of grace and take things easy. But the other concern then is when we deal with those that waiting becomes a way of life, and that mm-hmm. the person who is, it's not just a matter of, just as like a quick example, let's say that you are engaged or your boyfriend or girlfriend, regardless of your gender, is finishing up their residency as a physician, and their goal is to finish up that because the hours are so long and the pay is not very good. Most of them have student loans. And so that seems to be reasonable. When they finish that, let's say they have 2 years left, then they're ready to start looking at marriage, perhaps children down the road, so on and so forth. So to me, that's a reasonable, that's not a issue with being noncommittal or unable to commit. That's a reasonable expectation. So, but the person that it's been 5 years you've been together, everything has been the same. There has not been a specific purpose or reason. You, a lot of times people are living together during this period of time. And so that's when I feel that we can come into some slippery slopes, because it is my belief, and again, this is just my belief. It doesn't mean that it's the, you know, the only view or the truest, best, highest view, but it is my belief that time, generally speaking, time in of itself is not going to change people or exchange our external world. So that was a mouthful that I said, and I know I was a little bit all over the map, but I'm really interested in what you have to say, because I love your positivity and your philosophy that give it some time. And I recently, I know I said I was going to give it to you, but I lied. I'm taking it back. I just want to share a quick story. And this
I'm here laughing. Sorry to interrupt.
Well, that's okay.
She lied. Oh, she lied.
I know. And see, I'm honest enough to even admit that I lied. So you have to laugh at that. And this is a private client. And they would not have a problem with me sharing this little bit of information. So please know that my client's privacy is of, I would guard that as I would guard the life of my child or my fur child. But they would not, they shared this because it was a situation like you're talking about, Nicole. This person mm-hmm. was rushing someone who just needed to finish a few things. And they were moving at what I felt was a very good, reasonable pace. And it was it happened to be a male and female. The female is my client. And she was the one that, you know, I said, you need to be patient. You need to give this person time. You are trying to rush things too much. And you're coming across as a little bit desperate and pushy. And that is not going to get you the outcome. And she had just contacted me because she wanted to share with me. I told her that I was sure that this would all come together if she could just let this go with the marriage and just live for the now, embrace this amazing relationship, because they had everything that they needed, they had together. And she did share with me that they're engaged. Now, before everybody claps and gives me applause and takes bows and everything, no, I'm just kidding. I can assure you that I'll be dealing with her because her fiance now, I guess I can say, she does have a ring. He put a ring on it, so they're mm-hmm. good to go. But I would venture to say that from what my guides are showing me, that he's looking at a year or so down the road, and she's probably looking at, hey, is Valentine's Day too soon? And it's probably going to be. So we're not out of the woods quite yet with that one. But that just stood out as a very good example where patience was, like you mentioned, Nicole, patience was really all that was needed. And once that subject was taken off the table and that pressure, he didn't feel like every time he was around her, she was going to give him that look or, you know, bring up something, you know, to lead him into that whole discussion about marriage. So now I really am done.
Well, thank you, Maya. I mean, I do agree with you. I mean, certainly, yeah. Here's the thing. When I talk about the situation of time, it's provided that both people are on the same page. You know what I mean? It's provided that we know that we love each other, we know we care about each other, we know that we want this relationship to grow, you know, and we have both decided on that, you know. In those cases, taking your time, no issue, no problem. I think the issue comes in when the terms of the relationship haven't really been defined and we don't really know what this relationship is. You know, is it friends with benefits? Are we dating? Do you want to commit to me? And I think kind of the biggest issue is that in the beginning of a relationship and a partnership, there may be people coming in that are on two different pages. You know, one person may be coming in wanting to date and have a little fun. Another person is solely focused on having a committed partnership, but we never really talk about that. We never really have a conversation about what it is we really want and kind of what our expectations are. And one of the things that comes through a lot when I'm working with clients is you don't have to put everything on the table right away, but I do think it is important to let somebody know where you're at in your life. If you're at a space in your life where you're really wanting a committed partnership, if a man says to you he's not ready for that, and then you sort of say, oh, okay, that's cool, we can just date, then at that point, what happens when, like 6 months down the line, 3 months down the line, a year down the line, you really have strong feelings for this man and he's still in a non-committal space. And I think that that's sort of the problem that happens. And it's not just with women. You know, it's with men too. I have male clients that have a very similar issue. I think we have to talk to each other more about what our expectations are and what it is we want and we desire. And I also feel like the issue of time is another thing, too. One of the things that I find that I often ask clients, you know, when they're really focused on a time frame and when something has to happen, I often ask them, why now? Why do you have to be in a committed relationship this year? Or why do you have to be in a committed relationship by March or by April or by whatever time? What is it that you're wanting or you're desiring or you're seeking that requires you to put a time frame and a stipulation on it? And a lot of times when we start to ask that question, you know, some people will say, well, I don't want to be alone anymore. I'm afraid. I don't want to die alone. I don't want to be alone. I don't want to be by myself anymore. And so the underlying thing is more fear than it is anything. And so a lot of times the issue we need to address is the fear. Like, okay, you want to be with a committed partner, and that's fine, but what's so bad about being alone? What is it about your own company that bothers you or that scares you or that intimidates you? You know, and so when we start looking at those things and looking at those issues, we can kind of look at our own insecurities and our own fears. And when we start confronting our own insecurities and our own fears, we suddenly become more comfortable in our own company. Because I think that sometimes a rush to be in a committed partnership might be a fear of being alone and a fear of being with yourself and kind of looking at yourself and looking at the issues and things that you need to face. But once you look at those issues, there's really nothing to fear. And then it becomes easier to be around people. You become more at ease. There's not this sense of desperation that you must be with somebody, but you want to be with someone because it feels good, you know? So that's kind of what just came to me, but I'll turn it back over to you, Maya, because I feel like there's something else that's going to come from spirit, but I'll just turn it back over to you for a second to see what you think about that.
I love that, Nicole, and I felt that that was an excellent, just really spot on point, and that is something that I believe that, yeah, you are correct. I feel that I get more females than males, but definitely males have the same issue, and that comes up quite a bit. And that's the obsession over the time. And, you know, I try to share with the client that, you know, this isn't about, you know, sometimes they can be where they're taking it as though, I'm unable to make or unwilling to make, to box myself into a timeline or a time frame. And that's not, for me personally, that's not necessarily true. If I'm giving a time frame, if that's something that is given to me, then I'll share it. But when, you know, when they're constantly when, then I agree with you, and I feel that's a great point, and that I almost always am able to get to the root of what this obsession over time versus the actual outcome. And oftentimes, you know, I will redirect them and say, I understand that this is a strong desire and an urge, and, you know, I get that. I am a person and a human being, too, and so I share, you know, I'm sure Nicole does as well. We share the same emotions as any other human. This is just a profession that we work. It doesn't mean that we are, you know, we've been given, like, you know, the free pass or anything like that. And it, you're right. It ends up fear. And one thing that, you know, I believe as well is that if we can't be comfortable with our own company and we can't enjoy being with ourselves, why would we expect that someone else would enjoy the time? Now, that doesn't mean that we forego that hope and dream. I'm not suggesting that whatsoever. That is an important part of everything we do, is to envision and to manifest and to hold close in our hearts for those that desire that, to say, you know, eventually or at some point, or I am open and I am now ready and accepting that whatever we look to, universe, God, creator, source, divine, spirit, brings into my life. But it's much better, I can assure you, it's much better if the timing is another 6 months or even another year, and that everything comes together at such a higher vibrational level that you're not going through just another practice run or another relationship that's just filled with chaos, drama, and anxiety, where you're only going to end up saying, you know, I rushed this for the sake of the fear of being alone. So we definitely, I do feel as human beings, that's one of our, you know, that's one of our kind of built-in, if you will, issues that we all have to overcome, and for some of us, more easily. And you know, you mentioned about spirit coming in. And one thing that I believe, too, is that we have ancestral, however you want to pronounce the word, we have that instinct, just like animals, our dogs, you know, our domesticated dogs still carry the instincts from the wild. Well, as human beings today, we carry that instinct that is from thousands of years and generations past. And at certain times of the year, and certain phases in a man and in a woman's life, a little bit more so that there's a little bit different energy. But a woman's energy, for example, I call it the need for nesting and tend the fire. If we go back to pre-equipment, pre-vehicles, I mean, I don't want to say prehistoric because maybe not that far, but where they had fire and whatever tools they could make, and they relied on one another. And they needed a man. Women did not hunt for the most part. So we definitely have this ancient, the beat of this drum inside of us, and I believe that it can be very powerful, even if we're completely unaware of it and it's dwelling in our subconscious or in our spiritual memories. It's there and it's driving us, and I believe that fall and winter, it becomes stronger because those are more life-threatening just due to, you know, having to find shelter and the food sources being limited. And so the woman relied on the man to find the food and build the shelter and to keep the fire going or have something for her to cook on the fire, and she was the gatherer and so on. So I just wanted to add that I often feel that sometimes that seems to be coming through, and people don't even know why they feel this explainable drive to that they have to, you know, it's got to be now, like you said, I just feel like I have to find someone, I have to get, we have to be with someone, we have to start it now, and then we go through the nesting, and then men have a very different energy, but I think they can be pressure. So I don't know what your feelings are, what else you, if you have any feelings on that one way or the other, but go ahead and share whatever.
Yeah, well, I definitely agree with you, Maya, because, I mean, for women, of course, for those of us who are menstruating, I mean, there's periods of the month where you're ovulating, you know, and so that's biological, that's chemical, and you may be more drawn to a man at that time of the month, and that's something that's just that's very chemical, it's scientific, you know. I definitely agree with you as well in terms of the ancestral memories, you know, of what women did in the past and who we were before, and that possibly through our bloodline and through our lineage, we have those cellular memories. And so we're kind of reenacting that, even though today, you know, there are women who are career women and they're running their own businesses and they can take care of themselves. But there's something deep down that's very primal that wants to be taken care of and wants to be nurtured. And we're responding to those ancestral and biological impulses. So I definitely think there's truth to that as well.
Natalie would like to say something. Can I, when you're done, Nicole?
Sure. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I'll turn it over to you, Natalie, but yeah, just to concur.
Yeah, I agree. And I think as you get older, those instincts don't change. Like for me, I lost my husband. Well, I still feel I would still like to have a man to tell me how pretty I look. And it doesn't matter your age. I don't know. Maybe it does. Maybe when you get to be 90, you don't really care. I don't know. But I think, like with me, you know, I got married young. I had my son young. I grew up with my husband. So I grew up with him. You know, I learned things. And now I'm by myself, and I'm comfortable by myself. I can take care of myself, as Maya knows, especially financially. I'm good. I mean, I have no problems. And I have my son and my granddaughter and my daughter-in-law. But it's not like having a presence around you, and not even all the time. I don't even know that I would want somebody all the time. But, of course, I don't have the minstrel thing anymore. That's been long gone. But I think that the desire, it's still there. I think even though you don't have monthly things going on, that your chemistry does change. Especially if you're an empath, you're going to find yourself being even more emotional. It's because of me. That's why I'm telling you this, because that's how I am. But sometimes you can get yourself in a space, and I think these women that have never been married and want to get married right away, maybe they're afraid they're going to be old maids or afraid they're never going to have children. I don't know what it is, because I got married young. That's what they did then. I mean, you got married. You didn't do anything else. Now, you know, women have a choice. Men have a choice. I think maybe even the men, don't you think, had the same thing, like when my husband was seeing me. We got engaged. Let's see, we met in August. We got engaged in February, and we got married in July. Mm. That's the way it happened. That's the way it happened with a lot of people then. So I don't know. Do you think it's the same? Do you think? I think men are more apt to right now want to be by themselves. They want to be their own person. Maybe they don't want responsibilities. Could that be it? That's part of it. They just don't want the responsibility. And I think the women that are seeing these men that have these ideas of getting married, I think they get antsy about it. I think it means, well, if we can't get married right away, then that means you don't want to marry me. I think they issue ultimatums too soon, like you said. I don't know. That's my take on it. I can only go by what I've known all my life. And but the younger women have it probably much worse, I think, because it's changed a great deal. Maybe some of the women are afraid that their man's going to find somebody else, or if they don't marry them. But marrying them doesn't mean a forever. Things can change, right, as we know. He can find somebody else. You can find somebody. I mean, you know, before you stayed with a person, whether they were nice to you or not, that's the way that it was. That was almost like an unspoken law. And then now, actually, it's better because you can pick and choose in a way. But I think the women would suffer. If I was young and I was in this dating kind of thing, oh, I'd probably be a nutcase. I'd probably be calling Maya every day because I wouldn't know what to do. Well, what do I do with this guy? You know, he's supposed to call, and then he doesn't call. I just don't think it's as important to men as it is to women about phone calls. And, well, when, we're going to go out this week. Well, when are we going to go out? I would like to know. I want to prepare. Women like to prepare. They like to know ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's just I just had to throw that.
No, yeah. those were good points. Well, go ahead, Nicole, with what you...
Yes, I will be quiet now for a while.
Well, retort.
Okay. Well, no, actually, I do agree with you, Natalie. I mean, the interesting thing is, like, I do have clients who are men, and I do have many male clients that call me wanting to understand the women in their lives or how women feel about them. So men, they do ask similar questions. One of the things, though, that I do sense with a lot of guys is that one of the things that I think that they're afraid of is losing their freedom and sort of like their sense of happiness and their freedom and their ability to do what they want to do when they want to do it. And with a lot of men, if they feel like their freedom is being encroached upon or they feel like they're being dominated too much, that's really when they start to pull away. You know, they need a sense of comfort. Like they need to feel like they're being nurtured and they're being loved and they're being cared for, but they also have the freedom to be who they want and spread their wings a little bit, you know. And
you
so
think
I think
it's
that's
because some of it, Nicole, is that men are older now, getting married when they're older than rather when they're young, because when they're older, they've really developed their own way to go. And they think about this woman in their life and thinking, oh, well, she's going to tell me what to do, when to be home. And I think you're right. I think the men really still like their freedom. I think it's really changed.
Yeah, they do. I mean, it's not that they don't want companionship, but they don't want to feel like they're being dominated. That's the thing that I notice. I wouldn't say that's across the board with all men. But what I find with a lot of men is that they do want their freedom. You know, and they want to be in a relationship where they can submit to their partner and their partner can submit to them. So instead of one person being in control all the time, we're bending, you know, we're kind of doing a dance with each other as opposed to all of these ultimatums. You know, the other thing I would also say is that I think the thing that women have to understand, and I've noticed this a lot with my male clients and, you know, my dad, I'm really close to him. And he tells me about this a lot. Men think differently than women. They just do. Okay, like with us as women, we could be thinking about 1,000 things at once. Everything is going on at once. We have a series of lists and things in our head. Men are not like that. A lot of times, the way that they're thinking in boxes. They're thinking in categories. You understand? So, you know, a lot of times, female clients will ask me, "Well, does he miss me? Is he thinking about me? What is he thinking?" And he does miss you. He does think about you, but it's in categories. You know, you're in this box over there, but right now he's at work. So he's not thinking about you. He's focused in on work. He's focused in on that right now. And then when he's done with work, he thinks about you. You know, so I think they have to understand that for a lot of men, at least what I've noticed with a lot of the male clients that I deal with, the way that they show that they care about you is actually by spending time with you and being there. It's not always what they say. You know, there are some men that are very communicative and they're very expressive and they have a lot to say. But I do notice with a lot of men and a lot of male clients, they may not have a lot to say, but if they're spending time with you and they're showing up in your life and they're doing nice things for you and they want to spend time with you, that is a sign that they want to be in your life. You know, I think that sometimes as women, we have to understand that men may not always be as verbal as we are in terms of how they express their love and how they care. But oftentimes what I find with a lot of male clients is that they'll show that they love someone by getting her favorite meal or, you know, getting her a nice piece of jewelry or things of that nature. They may not always come out and say, "I love you," right away. You know, it takes a while for that to come up. You know, and the one thing that my dad told me And I would say this is true with a lot of male clients. One of the things that he said is that it may take a man a while to bond with a woman, if we're talking about like heterosexual relationships for a moment. It may take a while to bond, but when you bond with that person and you love them, you love hard. And that goes throughout. So it does take, I think, a little bit of time, you know. I think with women, the one thing that I would stress with female clients, if they're listening, is to know who you are as a woman and know what you want and know what you want in a man. You know, and if a guy is giving you signs and signals that he's not that guy, if he's giving you signs and signals that he's noncommittal or he's just not ready to be serious or he doesn't want to do that, don't try to take a noncommittal guy and turn him into a serious guy. You know, deal with people that are serious now, and they'll show you through their actions and behavior. If they're spending time with you, if they're checking in on you, if they're wanting to spend that time, chances are they're willing to invest and see what could be. I find with men that actions say a lot more than words ever do. If they're showing up and they're in your life and they want to see you and they're around, 9 times out of 10 they're into you and they care about you. You know, so that's what I'm getting. But I'll turn it over to you, Maya. What do you think about that?
Well, yes, I agree. I think there's actually a lot that we have to consider, and that first and foremost, I support what you said, that we do have to understand that the male and the female energy, regardless of sexual orientation, they think very differently. And males segregate their thoughts from their emotions, which you were talking about. You know, they compartmentalize and they put things in boxes. I completely agree with that. Whereas women, we tend to be more emotional about everything in life. I mean, for one thing, that's very accepted in our society. And so no one thinks twice if a woman is receiving a reward or getting good news and she were to burst in tears. However, if a male did that, I mean, there would be whispers. I mean, people would not be, like, as accepting. So men, I feel men get kind of a tough break in some ways. And I know that, men, there's just a lot. I mean, I'm just flooded with information, and I'm trying to sort out what's truly relevant to the subject. A couple of things that I would point out is that we have to accept, male or female, and listeners, you need to accept that men are never going to be identical. I mean, some are going to be more, they're going to have more feminine traits, and by feminine, I mean more communicative, more able to express their emotions, especially in the beginnings of a relationship. That's something that we as women need to teach them. So to expect a man, especially a new man in your life, to behave like your best friend is kind of unrealistic, because they're not that way. The other thing that I think is a very important point, and that goes back to some of what I believe Natalie brought up about seeing there's changes. Personally, most of the male clients that come to me, again, regardless of whether they're looking for a male or a female, they are just as disturbed over not seemingly able to find the commitment that they're looking for. So I feel that they may have a different timeline than females do, but ultimately I believe as human beings, the majority, not all of us, but the majority of us are driven by the basic instinct to find love and to be a part of a partnership. I do feel that that's a connection we have. And one thing that I was going to mention that I feel that has affected us generationally is that in the last, Natalie mentioned when she was married, that was just what you did, and divorce was just something you didn't do. There were certain things that they just weren't acceptable, and you didn't do them, and if you did, you brought dishonor on your family, and you were whooshed away. Pregnancy at an early age was considered, just today, I couldn't even tell you. I have a son that graduated this summer, and I mean, it was considered completely normal to have a pregnant girl in school. When I graduated, the year would be 77. I believe in a high school of about 3,000 in the graduating class, we maybe had two, and they were ostracized. So there was a difference. So where I'm going with this is that because there has been in the last, let's say, 20 years especially, because the divorce rate has absolutely skyrocketed, what if you look at the psychological and spiritual effects and the data we compile, and because of that data, the rules and regulations and legal changes made, we find that what happens most of the time, again, not there's always exceptions, most of the time in a broken home, in a household where there's a divorce, the mother almost always ends up with custody, and the father becomes less and less of an influence. Well, for a female child, that can cause issues. I don't want to make light of those that have suffered harm and have been damaged because of a divorce in their family. But it's still not as devastating to the overall composition and energy influences to that person as it is to a man whose father figure, who the gender that they're relating to, the example that's being set, is either absent or is a parade, maybe not intentionally, and I don't mean that in a negative connotative way, but is a parade of, you know, the divorcee has several boyfriends because she's learning and growing and going through her life. So I do feel that that has had a tremendous impact on our society, and most especially on males. I believe that those memories and that lack of that substance, the lack of, you know, we look back 50 years and, you know, father was out throwing the ball and going to the ball games, teaching his son to fix his car, all that. Well, and absent in a divorce, even the father that is doing his very best is still not the same as being there like the mother would be 24/7. I don't know if you can see any, if you feel that relates. And the one other thing I'll say before I turn it over to Nicole is that to the listeners is that females, I believe males listen a lot more. In fact, sometimes males are too quick to take gestures and symbols too figuratively and literally. As females, I think we tend to do the opposite. And I can't tell you how many clients come to me after the fact when they've already become so entrenched in something, in a relationship or in a person, and it's an impossible situation for a variety of reasons, even if that reason is just because that person has made it clear, whatever their trip is, that they're not willing to make any type of commitment. But if we go back to the very beginning, that male was very clear from day one. The female just chose, or the other person chose. Females have a way of selective hearing, and they just chose either not to listen or, like what I believe you said, Nicole, they took it inside the way they heard it, and it played to them is, there's something wrong with me, but I know you can fix it. And the male never said anything like that. The female just decided to make that interpretation. And then two or three or four years down the road, when there's been no change and they've become, their whole life has become, you know, evolving or revolving around this person and this relationship, then there's trouble when, let's face it, it's a lot easier to release someone after a few dates or even a few weeks or a few months than it is after a few years. So, you know, if you're listening, I would say pay attention, because men in their own ways, although they may not be as emotional and they may be a bit cautious and aloof. They're generally, in the, when it comes to commitment and that type of thing, they generally tend to be really honest in the very beginning. And if we choose to ignore that and they say, you know, well, you know, I don't know if I'll ever marry again or if I'll ever get married or if I'm ever, you know, ever going to be ready to settle down, but hey, you never know. And I believe in just enjoying the day for the day. And the woman says, yeah, me too. But inside she's thinking, no, I'm going to get you, sucker. I mean, then you only really have yourself for whatever consequences may occur. Does that make sense to you at all, Nicole?
Maya, that makes a ton of sense. And I completely agree with you because I think that it's interesting, but I find that a lot of clients, when they're coming to me asking when a person is going to call or when they're going to see them next or when they're going to have contact, a lot of them actually fall into that category where when I'm looking at it, what spirit and what their guides are saying is he communicated from the very beginning that he wasn't sure, you know, or he communicated from the very beginning that he didn't know if he was ready to be in a relationship and he would see, you know, but parameters hadn't necessarily been set yet. I think that as women, but I would also say this is men too, we have to understand where we're at in our life and what we need. You know what I mean? Because if you're at a point in your life where you need and want and desire a loving and committed partnership, if you're dealing with someone who's made it very clear to you that that's not the space that they're in right now, it is difficult, but you kind of have to let that person go so you can open the doorway to somebody new. And I do feel the problem comes in when we think that we can change or shape or shift someone who has made it very clear that they're at a totally different stage in their life than we are in ours. I also agree with you when you talk about sort of the breakdown of the family. I think that has something to do with it as well, whereas young men who, you know, often are looking to their fathers or their uncles or father figures in the family to figure out what it means to be a man, you know, if they don't have that around them on a continual basis, it's difficult to know what manhood is and what masculinity is. You know, and I would kind of say the same for girls. You know, if mom is working and running and not able to spend time with you, you know, it's difficult to pattern after her and determine what femininity is and sort of finding your own particular brand of femininity and how you're going to be as a woman in the world. I think what it comes down to is that I think people are scared. You know, I think that people, like we as a whole, sometimes we're scared to hear the truth of a situation. And we often may think that because a person is saying they don't want a committed relationship, it's a rejection of us, not really understanding that a lot of times what people are saying is, this is where I'm at in my life, and I'm not in the headspace or the heart space to commit and zero in on one person. You know, and a lot of times I think what happens is that we may take what a person is saying as a rejection of us and who we are, not understanding that, you know, where they're at in their life doesn't allow them to be in a committed partnership right now. So that's a big part of it too. And I think another part of it as well is that sometimes there's this rush to be married or this rush to be a couple, and we're not really building relationships. You know, we're not getting to know anybody. We're not determining whether or not we really like them as a person. We're not really building a friendship. We're thinking about the finish line versus establishing connection. You know, right now in my life, I'm single and it's by choice. But when I was in committed partnerships and committed partnerships that I would consider healthy, you know, we took a period of time to like discover each other and get to know each other and figure each other out. And I think that's really important. I think that that's what's missing. Sometimes we're trying to mold and shift and shape somebody into what we want them to be so we can feel secure in our lives. And I think that sometimes what we have to do first is create a full life and then connect with a partner. You know, if we're living the life we want to live, if we're living out our dreams, if we have a strong sense of our spirituality, if we're looking at our bodies and loving the way that we look, it's kind of like you're inviting someone into your world, you know, and they're becoming a part of your world versus running out and trying to find somebody to complete it. And I think that that's what's missing, not just for women, but for men as well. And I also see this with clients that are gay, lesbian, transgender, it's a similar thing. If you're looking for somebody to complete your life, what we really have to do first is have a full life. And if there's something in our lives that is not missing or is not working or doesn't feel good, rather than looking for a person or a child or a baby or something to complete that, you first sort of say, okay, what in my life is not working? What in my life is not making me happy? And how can I shape that or shift that or change that within myself? And then reach out and connect with someone. You know, and I found in my own life, when I look at it that way, the romantic partnerships I've had have been that much more full. They've been exciting. They've been fun because it's two complete people coming together. You know, I can share from personal experience, when I've been in relationships where I've been looking for a partner to complete me, the bottom has always fallen out of those relationships because no one person can make it all better and make it all perfect. And I think that might be the issue and the challenge, is that we're so afraid of maybe being alone. Maybe we're afraid of knowing ourselves and understanding ourselves. But what I would say to each person that's listening is that who you are and what you are is beautiful. And there's nothing to be afraid of. And the right person for you is going to love you in spite of your issues. You know what I mean? They're going to love you sometimes because of your issues, because that's what makes you beautiful. You know, so, you know, that I think I rambled a little bit, but that's kind of what was coming through. So I'll turn it back over to you, Maya, to see what you have to say about that.
No, thank you, Nicole. You didn't ramble at all. I mean, that's definitely very true. And I completely agree that it's oftentimes more of this rush to go out and fill a void rather than, you know, being open to the potential of what the desired outcome is. And then, you know, of course, being social and interacting, but then making conclusions and taking your time with those based on the actual reality and the interactions and where the person is at. Are we on the same page? There's basic things. I don't think we have to be identical to be life partners, but there's some things that have to be in place. And first and foremost, as you pointed out, we have to know who we are. And I completely agree that none of us are perfect. And the quicker we're able to accept that and love ourselves for the things that we are, the quicker we will attract those that can do the same. And we won't have the feeling of that need to pretend, which, you know, comes across a lot with those, again, that they're on a mission. I mean, it's an agenda rather than a hopeful outcome. And if you look at different contexts of your life and different things, I mean, you would normally... most of us would not behave that way or emit that energy if we were aware of it in other venues or in other contexts in our life. Yet when it comes to relationships, it's like everything seems to go out the window. And we're whole as we are with our connection to, my belief is to divine, which for me personally I would recognize to be God. But there's many forms of that, and there's not a right or wrong with that. But our connection to our highest self, which I believe is our spiritual self, and when we can be comfortable with ourselves, that doesn't mean that we choose that to be our life. If we do, that's fine. It is a matter of choice. But, you know, hope is one thing. Desperation is another. Mm-hmm. And... I mean, most of us, if we were out of work, let's say, and, you know, we were getting fear, which is at the bottom, I believe, of a lot of these things, regardless of whether you're male or female, fear for many different reasons and in many forms, but it still is fear. I agree with you very, very much that fear is the motivating factor and what often causes us to end up, you know, either attracting or remaining or whatever with someone who's just not going to enrich our lives. And that's what it should be, is not they can't make us whole, but they can enrich who we are and they can help us to be better people because they're an inspiration and we should be that to them as well. But even if you felt, if you were going on a job interview, you wouldn't race in there thinking about your bills. Let's say that you were getting fearful that time was running out. You had thought that by now, surely you would have had a job, and yet nothing yet has come up. You imagine approaching a potential job interview and running in there and throwing yourself on the floor and saying, look, my bills are due. You must hire me. I mean, whatever it takes. Well, it only pays, you know, half. I don't care. And, you know, we're going to need you to use a toothbrush on the cracks around the toilet. That doesn't matter. A little bit, but you get, I mean, hopefully our listeners can get the drift. I mean, mm-hmm. First of all, they're going to probably think, I'm not even sure I want this person cleaning our toilets, let alone being a legal assistant or, you know, dealing with the public. So we're not going to behave in that manner, and we're not going to take a job. For example, let's say the job is more of an entry level and there's room for advancement, but we're not going to accept a job that's an entry level answering the phones and receptionist and expect, well, I figure within 2 weeks I'll be in charge of this place. I mean, that's just unrealistic.
Now
to say, hey, maybe in 8 months or a year, once I've gotten to know the ropes and I understand how this organization works and I've, you know, proven myself and I've learned, that's reasonable. So those are ways, when it comes to love, we tend to lose our head, so to speak. So try to bring yourself back. If you do feel in conflict and you're trying to determine, am I being realistic in my approach to love and what, you know, where I'm at? Or if you're in a relationship and you're asking yourself, is this person, am I rushing things? Am I the one that needs to just slow down and take a deep breath? Or have I allowed myself to be compromised by someone who really has no true desire or intention of committing to this? And, you know, these are chances for you to revisit and evaluate, especially as we come to the end of the year. The end of the year with the new year in sight is always a good time to evaluate where we are. And, you know, I loved what you said, too, about when love comes along, just as we will, you know, we may notice, well, our partner does this, and that's not the, you know, most lovely habit that I've ever seen. But it's not going to change how we feel. And oftentimes I've had to say, it is not you, it's the other person. It's not because you're not good enough or you didn't love them enough. And I can tell everyone right now, pretty much flat across the board, that if you're even remotely stalking someone, please stop. That really, and I don't mean that in the legal sense. I mean it in the emotional sense, because that is about the last type of energy that is ever going to get you the desired outcome. If you feel someone needs a wake-up call or has had too much access to you, then you're going to do, if anything can move and shift things, it would be to deny access to them. You know, they say, why buy the cow when the milk's free? And, you know, I don't mean that in a sexual way either. I mean that just in general. So that is a lot more, that tends to be a lot more productive, but only if we're doing it because we want the best for ourselves and this isn't giving it to us. So really with that, I'm going to just go ahead and say that, you know, I believe that we're all worthy and deserving of love, and that it starts within, just as all things do, I believe. And so love yourself and accept yourself. You're not perfect. And regardless of your orientation or your age, I mean, I'm not in my hormones. That ship sailed years ago. But I am still desirous of, you know, I'm married, and so, but just because I'm married doesn't mean that I don't have those same desires within the marriage, of course. So age, although it may change how we play the game, I don't feel that it necessarily makes us out of the game. And, you know, okay, well, at 72 or at 75 or at 63 or at 90, we're going to make a big X because there's, you know, or Y or whatever, there's no gender there. They don't have that desire. As long as we're breathing and we can think clearly, and even sometimes when we can't think too clearly, we still are desirous of that connection to someone else. So with that, go ahead, Nicole, for whatever final thoughts you might have on this interesting topic.
Well, thank you, Maya. I do agree. I mean, you know, I think the overwhelming thing that I keep receiving that I feel like is really important for people to know, you know, just you said, irrespective of your orientation, you know, what you like, what you don't, I think that each of us, you know, it's important to look in the mirror and just kind of say, I am enough. Me as I am enough, and I'm worthy of love, and I'm worthy of affection. I'm worthy of that. Because I think that sometimes this push for time frames and when something is going to happen and how it's going to happen is it a fear that deep down we're not good enough. So if we don't get this right now, it's not going to happen. And, you know, I think it's so important. We all have insecurities. We all have stuff we wish we could change about ourselves. But if you can look in the mirror and you can say, I am enough as I am, you may not believe it the first time you say it, but if you continuously say it, eventually you're going to believe it. And the other thing I would also say, just sort of in terms of like, you know, a lot of times we see this a lot where people maybe are watching someone on Facebook or Twitter or social media or things of that nature and maybe putting a lot of energy into focusing in on what that person is doing. When you're building relationships with people, one of the things that I would say to women and men is that you have to give a person time to miss you. So spend those amazing moments with them. Have a great dinner. Have a great conversation. And then give them time to miss you and think about it. Because it's in the moments of your absence where people start to really consider how they feel about you. You know, give them time to miss you. Give them time to make up their own mind. Give them time to think about how they feel. You know, and if that's the right person for you or if the relationship has potential and they're ready, they'll come around. You know, the one thing that my guides always tell me and I always feel and have always sensed is that no matter where you're at in life, what is for you will be for you. You know, so don't worry about feeling like you're going to miss the boat. Live your life, do what you love, do what brings you joy and passion and excitement. That in and of itself is attractive. People will be attracted to that because you're full of life. So, you know, that's what I'm sensing. So I'll turn it over to Natalie now. But I wish you guys the best and just know that you're enough. Single or married, whatever, you're enough.
Yeah, and I also, I extended the half hour. So I also want to say that when things happen to you that's major, and I'm using myself as an example, you have to give yourself time. It'll be 4 years in April, and I'm feeling better. Mm-hmm. I'm not back to where I should be, not yet, but it's different for everybody else. And, you know, at my age, I don't really care if I got married again. That's not important. What I just want, and I'm older than both of you, what I just want is to have somebody in my life that will call and say, hey, let's go to dinner. Let's go to the show. Let's go away for the weekend. And when he sees me, boy, you really look pretty today. I'm just looking for some little things, not the big things. But everybody's life starts out differently. You know, your marriage starts out differently. Mine was good in the beginning, but then things changed, and then it got really bad because of his disease. But that's not the case in most instances. I think other things occur. I'm really glad that the girls now, or women now, have more options, except that I wish, and I'm going to say this, I wish that they would not give in to the man as quickly as they do. I think they ruined it for themselves. I think all the women have nowadays, they're just out to get the man, and they don't care what they have to do. Well, think about yourself. Think about long term. Maya didn't. I don't know how old Nicole is. I didn't. You know, I think it needs to revert back a little bit, and maybe you'll hold off and say, well, gee, that's not the man I really want. I mean, what does he want me for? You know, you have to ask yourself that. And then I had a nice compliment today, and I was telling Maya and Nicole that my goddaughter texts me every day, just about every day we chat, okay? And I said, she showed me a picture of herself, and I said, gee, I would like to have a nice picture of me. I said, do you think you can? She says, oh, I have phone apps, I can do it. And she says, send me a picture of you. And I said, well, can you make me look gorgeous? And she typed back, you already are gorgeous. And when I got that, I started to think to myself, yes, she's my godchild, my daughter of my best friend, but that was something that she thought about me. And she saw me in February, and It just ended my day perfectly. It just made me feel like, okay, yeah, I am. But you have to have self-esteem. Maya and I have talked about that. And everybody's life turns out differently. You go through all the days. If you're as old as I am, you've experienced it all. And, you know, Nicole, how old are you? If you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
Oh, yeah, I'm 34.
Oh, well, you have time.
Great,
and Maya
woman.
Says the same thing. But you see what I'm saying? You've experienced things also. Maya and I have both, and I just think you need to give it time. And I don't know, when you look at the man from a woman, look at the man and say, well, what's this going to be like? I mean, is he going to be, you don't really know what it's going to be like if you start living with somebody. You really don't until you live with them, because they put on a good show. I mean, maybe they drink, maybe they do other things, you know, it's, you know, but for me, I guess when I think about it, I'm probably in the best place of all, is that I have a nice son, I have a beautiful granddaughter, and I have a lovely daughter-in-law, and so I think you have to look at all of that, and if you're healthy and you still look pretty at my age, and people tell me that I don't look my age, oh, heck, I got it. I got it made. Maybe in 10 years I won't look as good, but I look okay now. My son says, Mom, just lie about your age. They'll never know the difference. But anyways, with that, I want to say what a beautiful show tonight. I'm always so proud of the two of you. And, yes, it does kind of make my voice kind of crack a little, because it is a beautiful thing. Candy has something here that, if you don't mind, if you both could, she says, ask the girls this. But it's not from her, it's from a client, and I guess she doesn't know how to handle it. After a married couple separates, how do you handle one party not willing to divorce in court, and that party keeps holding on exactly the same way as it was in the relationship? Mm-hmm. How do you handle that?
Well,
refuses to recognize the commitment to the relationship.
I see. Maya, I'll turn it over to you, since you're married, because I've never been married, and then I'll share some thoughts that I have.
Well, I mean, the first thing that I would say is, you know, definitely you need legal advice, because I'm not an attorney, so I can't give legal advice, but I'm pretty sure this isn't my first rodeo, so that means it isn't my first marriage. I guess I've been the Marian kind. And good, bad, or in between, that's been my life. So what I got right away, and what I would share with the client, is first of all, if we make a decision and we firmly decide that we are moving forward in our life, we are going to move forward in our life. And the only thing that's going to prevent that is because we're still allowing someone else to define us, or we are enabling something, because there's a little something going on with us, and most likely it's some type of fear, reluctant to completely let go. Something is keeping that client If I'm understanding the question, this client wants to move forward and get a divorce and move on with their life, but the spouse is not agreeing and not allowing this to happen. Well, no one can allow or disallow us to move forward and live our life. So an attorney can take care of the legalities of a situation. And as far as spiritually and emotionally, that person just needs to absolutely, completely shut down all access, other than if there's children, obviously there has to be some cordial arrangement there. But one of the mistakes that we often make, and it's due to our need to have, I call it getting fed or getting strokes, but that client may not even be aware, but the person that asked the question, some need is being filled by this person, by he or she allowing this person to keep them replaying this and dragging this out. So make no mistake about it. No other person can force us, like, to linger on the phone and talk about things that are past. If we truly want to move forward, we simply detach ourselves completely and totally and refuse to have any contact other than, again, when there's children involved, obviously we have to make some, you know, concessions for that. So that's what I would say about it, that what I picked up is that there's something that the person asking the question who's trying to move forward, there's something that they must be getting or some fear, something other than the other person is keeping them holding on. So, Nicole, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I agree with you, Maya, because I'm picking up a similar thing. What's coming through for the client is similar to what you just said, which is you're in a situation where you're dealing with a partner who won't give you the divorce. That's what I received from it. That's what I heard, that maybe they're not signing the papers. Maybe they're refusing to sign the papers, things of that nature. But what comes through from spirit is you basically just have to, just as Maya said, you've got to move forward with your life. And you may even be able to say to your former partner, I loved you or I do love you, but I'm moving forward. And when you're ready to sign those papers, you sign those papers and we'll get it taken care of. Because what I see around it is if you obsess over the fact that they're not signing the papers, or they won't give you the divorce, that's only going to create more issues, more tension, more friction, and it's going to exacerbate this problem. And it's interesting, but I'm thinking about a book by Elizabeth Gilbert called Eat, Pray, Love, which was very popular. Many people have read it. But in this book, this woman asked her husband for a divorce, and he won't give it to her. He takes months and months and months to sign these divorce papers. And one night she's driving with her friend and she's like, my God, he won't sign the papers. What am I going to do? And her friend basically says, you know, I'm going to get behind you and I'm going to believe that he's going to sign the papers. I believe it's time for you to move on with your life. Who else do you think agrees that it's time for you to move on with your life? And she starts thinking of the friends and family and all the people that love her and care about her that would co-sign on this divorce, you know. And so she's basically projecting for the type of future she wants to have. And as they're talking and they're having this conversation and they're driving, within a few days she gets a call from her ex-husband who says, you know, I'm not going to hold out any longer. I'm going to sign the papers. So I feel like, Maya, what you said is right on. Move forward with your life. Once they realize there's a point of no return and they can't get you back, they're not going to hold on like that anymore. But if you keep having these conversations and exacerbating it and going back and forth, then there's still a hope that maybe you guys can get back together. And I feel like that's what it is. They're holding on to that hope. If you move forward with your life and you make it clear you're moving forward, they don't have anything else to hold on to. They'll let you go, and eventually they will give you the divorce. But they have to see that you're moving forward. That's what I'm receiving from it.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. I think.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you very much for that. She's getting that right now, that she'll be able to kind of relay that information. I mean, I'm assuming that you guys are probably both right. It makes sense to me. Something is going on. He's holding on, and she doesn't want to be held on. So you just have to keep going. You just have to decide, this is what I want, and take the necessary steps. I don't know if even in a legal system, if they can force the other partner to sign the papers. I don't know what they do about it. If they continue to, you know, run and don't follow through, I don't know if there's any part in the law that will protect you for that, because in some instances this could go on for years and hold back two people. How silly. It's just so silly, isn't it? But anyways, to end the show, I want to thank both of you. It was wonderful, as always. I mean, the two of you really relate to each other. I mean, you should hear the two of you. It's just beautiful. It really, really is. I'm so proud. I say that every week, but I wouldn't say it if I didn't mean it. Thank you, Candy, who's in the – she's had some guests in there, and she's been enjoying herself and working her little magic fingers across Twitter and Facebook. And I will do something now on Twitter. And I've been sending out a little personal note on Twitter because I have a lot of people that are sending me direct messages. And when they do that and, you know, they're saying, Natalie, what do you think about this? Well, I'm going to do a personal note back. I don't, you know, I'll just say a general, something really about love, or I put a little thing and there's this thing I say, it's mine to keep. And that means you don't tell anybody, it's yours to keep. Little things that I send out. So I've been doing that every night. And good things coming for stars, so just hold on. And with that, I'm going to say I love you guys both very much. And Candy knows I love her. I tell her that all the time. So, but now she hears it on the air. And so does Maya. I mean, because Maya has been, I don't know. She's just been very strong around me because I've known her for so long. And Nicole, you've been a help. And hopefully tomorrow will be a wonderful day, and let's remember that. And we'll see everybody next week. So with that, I will say good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.